This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Linda Wertheimer.
And I'm Steve Inskeep. NASA has told the crew of the shuttle Discovery that their craft is safe to bring back to Earth on Monday. Additional spacewalks will not be needed after this week's dramatic venture to remove some loose fabric from the heat shield. That spacewalk was made possible in part by an extra vehicular mobility unit, otherwise known as a space suit.
A space suit, in its simplest terms, is a one-man spaceship.
Ed Francis is a vice president at Hamilton Sunstrand, the company that makes this $12 million suit, which on Earth weighs 240 pounds.
An astronaut needs to work in one of the most hazardous environments there is, and that's the vacuum of space, and do so for about 8 hours at a time, and be completely sustained during that time. We also have to protect him from things like micrometeorites. So,
micrometeorites?
Micrometeorites are small objects that fly in space below the, I'll say, radar screen of NASA. And, you know, it's always possible that one could impact a suit.
Does that actually happen during spacewalks, or has it happened?
It has never happened. We hope it never happens. But if you had a minimal hit, we do provide for the astronaut to get emergency oxygen and get back to and keep the suit as pressurized as we can and get back to the airlock.
How have these suits evolved over time?
It's been a very gradual evolution. They are a modular suit, so we have, basically you have a hard upper torso, and then you have, which attaches arms and legs to it, and the helmet, and a personal life support system, which is the backpack you see. The most important improvement, I think, that is relevant to this week's spacewalk was the improvement we undertook with NASA several years ago to the gloves. Those gloves allow the astronaut to be able to move his hand much easier. They're heated. This week alone, each astronaut has done almost 20 hours of work in the suit. So these improved gloves have allowed astronauts to do the many hours of work they do. And they're each individually tailored to the astronaut themselves. The astronaut actually does a mold of his hand, and then we produce the glove.
Is that true of the whole suit?
No. Each component of the suit comes in various sizes, and in fact, that's a major difference between our suit and the Russian suit that the cosmonauts wear. Their suit is basically a one-size-fits-all that has minor changes that can be made to it. But if you met a Russian cosmonaut and he was more than 6 foot, he's exceptional. And if he's less than 5'5", he's exceptional. They all seem to fall in that 5'9 to 5'10 area, not only for the suits, but they also for the way they fit in their spacecraft, which are also very restrictive.
Now, you mentioned that you need to provide everything that an astronaut would need for up to 8 hours in space at a time. The obvious requirement is oxygen, but what else is there?
Well, water, food. They do have a small snack that they can actually eat that's inside the helmet.
How do they get it then?
Well, it's basically on the side of the helmet, and they have to move their head inside the helmet to eat it. Maybe not so obvious. One of the things you can't do is you can't get your hand inside the helmet, so you have to be able to move your head to drink. You have to be able to move your head to eat.
What's the snack?
You know, it's like an energy bar type thing. I've never had one myself, so I can't tell you exactly what it is, but it's one of those.
I would think, you know, as the vice president and general manager of the company, they'd make you eat a few of those.
Well, we don't make the snacks. We just make the suit.
And I guess it's probably not enough wrapper or anything like that.
No.
Problem.
No, a wrapper on the snack would be a real problem. But right. But we do provide water. We also obviously have to provide to remove the water from the environment. You know, otherwise humidity would build up on the inside of the helmet.
Trying to think of a delicate way to ask this next question. You did refer to removing water from the environment. Well, I'm thinking, you know, 6, 7, 8 hours in space, you might have to relieve yourself.
Yes, it's very similar to, you can imagine, a Depends-type situation.
Even though you've been through more than 100 of these spacewalks, is there ever a moment when your heart is in your throat?
Well, yes. I think any time we do something different or new, you always worry about what you don't know. Wednesday, for instance, when we did the spacewalk, we had 4 scenarios, 3 backups to the removal of the problem part on the aircraft, and we never got into the other 3 scenarios because the first one worked. So, yeah, there are times when we worry, but very few times when we actually get into a situation that we haven't thought through, and fortunately, that's always the way it's been on these.
We've been speaking with Ed Francis. He's the vice president and general manager of the Space, Land, and Sea Division. Boy, that's a lot of ground you cover at Hamilton Sunstrand. Thanks very much.
You're welcome.